bodybuilding world will never be the same.
Get ready for MD Radio with your host, Sean Ray. We'll take you inside the world of health and fitness with a focus on bodybuilding. Now, here's your host, Sean Ray.
All right, Sugar Sean is fashionably late coming to the show today, of course. This is Bob Chick filling in, at least for a few moments, and me and Sean will get down to the business of bodybuilding. 50 years ago this week, Joe Weider put together the very first Mr. Olympia competition. That show featured all of two competitors in the Mr. Olympia, but it was a star-filled night as the Mr. Universe, Mr. America, Miss Americana, and the Mr. Olympia were staged at the Brooklyn Academy of Music, September 18th, 1965. A dream that Joe Weider had and continues to be put on. Of course, now Joe, unfortunately, no longer with us. His brother Ben went just a few years before Joe. But the dream is alive, and there are those that have been put into place to keep that dream going. We have seen this prize money go from zero, literally, as a crown was given to the very first winner, Larry Scott, who defeated Harold Poole in a very closely contested contest, but a very popular winner in Larry Scott. And a crown, I mean, an actual crown that you've seen. Actually, Sean has a picture of this that he took when he did an interview with Larry Scott before we lost him to that great Gym in the Sky. And it's gone from that to now 50 years later, as the purse has swelled to over $1.1 million. It was the dream of AMI, actually, and David Pecker, to bring that amount over to $1 million while Joe was here. Unfortunately, he just missed on that. As the year Joe went, we actually went to the $1 million mark. But you can see things are alive and well in the world of bodybuilding, and this competition is going to be truly one of the great ones in history. I mean, you know, we say that every year. It's going to be the greatest Olympia of all time, but there are truly a whole bunch of benchmarks that are going to come into play at this Olympia. I mean, you've got, first and foremost, Phil Heath, three-time Olympia champ, looking to make it four in a row. He has dubbed it the war for four, which is kind of makes a whole lot of sense, I guess, if you're rhyming things. And I don't see a whole lot of people putting a big challenge to old Phil. I mean, Phil's been laying low the last month, I guess, and before that, he's pretty active on social media, of course. Phil, probably the first modern era Mr. Olympia to really embrace Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all that good stuff. And the Orleans will be rocking, man. The Orleans Arena has about a 10,000-person capacity. I'm assuming that we're going to be shattering that this year. And by we, I use that terminology because I have been involved. And at the helm, I'll be celebrating my 10th year on the microphone at Olympia Weekend this year. So another celebration of sorts. And Robin Chang, enough can't be said about this man. I mean, Robin has taken over this event that used to be promoted by Wayne D'Amelio some years ago. And what he's done with it is nothing short of spectacular. I mean, for those who have been around bodybuilding for longer than 10 years and who have actually gone to Vegas and seen it, this event has been really, truly brought up, you know, 10 notches from where it used to be. And that's not to take away from the prestige, because the Olympia was always prestigious, as obviously it's a Super Bowl of bodybuilding. But everything from the layout, the design, the planning, the expo, the amount of people, participants, fan base. You don't have to go back too long to see that this show, has risen tenfold over where it used to be. And there's a lot of people who have, you know, some nostalgia issues with, you know, saying it should be going back to the Mandalay Bay and that was much better. Well, let me remind you folks, there was about half the amount of people that go to the Olympia now. There was about 5,000 people, give or take, maybe a little bit less, that used to attend that event. There's over 10,000 people now. That said, the expo itself, which was held at the Mandalay Bay, which made it very convenient, everything was pretty much under one roof, was held in ballrooms. I mean, it was not anywhere near what the expo like you see now. The now it's located in the Las Vegas Convention Center. I mean, this thing is ridiculously huge. I mean, for any of those that have been to the Arnold, if you haven't been to the Olympia, it's very similar in nature, obviously, with a whole bunch of different events going on, full two-day events, and but it's huge. I mean, there are people from literally all over the world that come to the Olympia every year. One of those people, of course, will be my co-host here for today, Sugar Sean Ray, who hasn't missed too many Olympias. Actually, Sean, if I'm not mistaken, you've been going to Olympias about half your lifetime.
Actually, my first Olympia, Bob, was 4 years out of high school. 1984 is when I graduated. So 1988 was the first time I was actually on stage. And since that time, in one form or another, I've never missed a Mr. Olympia. And that's bragging rights for me. It's just something that, you know, no matter what's on the calendar, no matter how good or bad I feel, no matter what's going on in the world, it all stops for this weekend coming up Friday and Saturday, because that's how big a fan and enthusiast I am of the game of bodybuilding.
Well, Sean, I took the liberty of taking the first opening minutes of the show, and I've been doing a little bit of bragging rights myself in the fact that Joe Weider put this show together 50 years ago, September 18th, 1965. I wasn't even on this earth yet, as you got me beat by a few months. And it was truly an idea that spawned. I mean, there was a lot of multi-Mr. Universe winners, Mr. America winners, and such. And they came up with this idea. Larry Scott was going to retire, and he had nothing more to be gained. And they came up with this idea to have this Mr. Olympia, which was supposed to be basically a big melting pot of a whole bunch of champions. Well, only two actually went out for that first one, which was Harold Poole and Larry Scott. And Larry Scott being victorious. But, you know, here we are 50 years later from a crown that I know you actually got to hold and touch from Larry Scott himself in that first Olympia to over $1.1 million at stake this year.
Yeah, it's amazing when you talk about, I mean, it's just, you know, the athletes on the stage. It's still a multi-million, billion-dollar industry for all the supporting cast. It's, you know, the Olympia not only gave birth to Larry Scott and Serge, all the other great champions to follow, but of course now the champions that came for themselves on the stage, former Gaspar and Labrada and Feeney and Yates. I mean, these guys in Cutler and Heath, they've all got their own supplement businesses that they're able to provide for their lifestyle and others like them coming up behind them. I mean, what Joe and Ben did back then, while 9 years old at the time they had the first Mr. or 9 days old when they had the first Mr. Olympia, Bob, was they followed through with everything, followed through with their dream, and I think every bodybuilder that ever stepped on that Mr. Olympia stage has a similar testimony in terms of following through. I mean, you can't get to the Mr. Olympia without having the dream first, having the vision to believe in yourself that this is someplace that you belong, and then charting out a path to be a part of that stage. Well, yeah, Joe and Ben, brother, were the architects of creating that platform for Harold Poole and Larry Scott. Anyone that's followed in their footsteps have all had to go through the same feeling out process, the self-doubt process, and then once you're there, it's a matter of like trying to stay there. It's like that's where you want to be. That's kind of where you want to live. And fortunately for me, Bob, they gave me an opportunity to chart out my life plan and give me a platform to follow in other people's footsteps and then leave a few footsteps behind. So that Olympia has a lot of different trickle-down ramifications that have affected thousands, if not millions, of people's lives.
Well, and Sean, a lot of memories to boot. Now, you had a record that's very elite in itself, as you were in there about a dozen years, not finishing out of the top five, only Dexter Jackson probably enjoying that. And it might be only you, too. I'm going to have to go back and look at that. Ronnie Coleman, of course, would also be right up there. I'm not so sure he was there as many years, though. But that said, Sean, you've got tons of Olympia memories. Now, is there any one memory, and I know it's tough to break it down, but is there any one that actually sticks out? When you say Mr. Olympia to Sean Ray, what moment sticks out in your mind and always will?
Well, I can tell you, Bob, it was the first Olympia. It has nothing to do with the stage. Remember, when I was in high school, 1983, Bob Paris won the Mr. America, Mr. Universe, that's just the national championships. Second guy ever to win overall nationals and then go on to win the universe title. But he was on the cover of all the magazines. Every guy and girl that was into fitness wanted to either look like him or have a piece of him. And here I was in the bus, and I'm on my way from the host hotel, which was literally around the corner in the parking lot of the Universal Amphitheater. And Bob and his then, I'm not sure if it was his husband or just his boyfriend, Rod, were sitting one seat in front of me. And remember, my closest interaction was standing on the stage at a champion's year back in May, a few months earlier, but I didn't even notice that he was in the show until he was announced. I think he was third, I was fourth. but I didn't have a chance to really soak it in because it happened in the blink of an eye. I was still fixed on Phil Hill and trying to beat him. I forgot Bob Pierce, my eye at the time was there, but I'm evaluating this guy. Man, he looks just like he does in the magazines. He looks exactly like the movie star in the magazines that I admired and had pictures on my walls. Looking at the haircut, trim, the clothes, the perfect tan. I mean, the nails were manicured. I mean, this guy looked—he didn't look like he was going to a body show. He looked like he was going to a fashion show. And I just thought he's probably the most beautiful man I've ever seen at that point in time, besides Elvis Presley. And I knew at that time that when I showed up for the Olympia, that he was going to be one of those guys. When I got dressed to go and represent as a bodybuilder, that I wanted to dress and emulate. He was like a movie star going to the Mr. Olympia. When in fact, this guy kind of had going a gladiator fight mentality because there's so much testosterone involved. Bob and Lena Broadbent raised the bar for me in terms of how a person should look and conduct themselves going to work and going to the Mr. Olympia. Bob, don't get it mistaken. After 13 years on that stage, I was going to work. That was my job, and that's how I took it. And Bob Pierce was very influential on how I conducted myself come Olympia weekend.
Now, Sean, we were both in the 87 Nationals where you ended up winning the show, turning pro. You were on the Olympia stage just a year later. Now, just to give people a perspective, all right, because they're used to pros, especially modern fans, they're used to pros being a lot older right now. We're the same age, so you were either 21 or just turning, you probably just turned 22, I'm guessing. I don't know what the date of the 88 Olympia was, but that's something to honestly take in and appreciate. You're talking about a 22-year-old kid. Like I say, you're only 4 years out of high school, you know, on the Olympia stage. I mean, it's unheard of today. Nobody's even close to their early 20s on the Olympia stage anymore.
When I try to economize what I did, I mean, mind you, back then, the gene pool for bodybuilders was rife with youth. I mean, Spari turned pro, I believe, is barely 20, 21 years old. Shane Nomura, barely 20, 21 years old. I mean, guy, even Flex Wheeler was like 26, and that's considered young by today's standards. So a lot more people, a lot more teenagers. I mean, the teenage divisions were stacked back then. Came up behind Doyle Washington, Victor Richards and Jim Beasley and Franco Santarello. These guys were in the teenage division. Eddie Robinson, it was ripe with talent, and we don't have it anymore. We barely have a show that even has a teenage division. But if you look back, you know, our first national champion, Lee Haney, was a teenage national champion winner as well. So I think because I found something that I liked early on, and I dove into it like I was getting a MBA, it happened faster. And when you have the genetic potential and the hunger inside the belly, and you become a student of the game, you can potentially get there faster. I was right there first step with Mike Tyson. So my psychology was like getting ready for a heavyweight fight. I likened the getting ready for a competition like I was Mike Tyson getting ready for a fight. So I think genetically might have been superior in certain areas than others, but my hunger to be the best was rooted after my first competition. And I think that says a lot for a bodybuilder. Many guys, including taller ones like yourself, it takes years just to kind of grow into your frame, but then you've got to stay hungry with the waiting process like Jay Cutler had to do, stay hungry. And for me, an instantaneous taste of success drove the machine.
Now, Sean, if you're looking down your impressive list of credentials, and keep it on this Olympia theme. If you look back, obviously you've got a string right from when you got in there, except for 1989. What happens in 89?
So I bring the first ever Arnold Classic held in Columbus, Ohio, and I was training with Mike Christian. He was the 1984 overall NPC national champion. He was also the winner of the world championships here in L.A., the Universal Amphitheater. We're probably 6 weeks out, and I was doing heavy drop sets on leg presses, and it felt like to me it was like an aneurysm. I don't know what an aneurysm feels like, but at the base of my neck, my trap, all the way up to my ear, I felt a strong ping, like almost like a retraction of like a torn bicep, like a rubber band snapping. I couldn't turn my head left. I couldn't turn my head right. As soon as I held my breath to do like a curl, or a shoulder press, or even bicep press down, it would be an instantaneous headache. So all I could do at that time was get massage therapy, electrotherapy. I was going to medical clinician at the recommendation of the then IFBB president, Vice President Wayne D'Amelio. And as soon as I realized that this was probably more serious than anything else, they told me, do not put pressure. If you apply pressure, it's going to continue not to be able to heal. So take a week off. I'm 5 weeks out from the journal. So I'm keeping Wayne abreast to what's going on. Mind you, I had the information, confuse the internet. And I had to call off the phone. I feel like I'm talking to a confidant, a friend, someone who's, I'm keeping abreast. I'm like, you can do it, just keep on your diet. And my body really didn't change, but after a week back in the gym, there was no way I could do the same weight. And I pulled out of the contest, and I sent Wayne off my medical information. He told me to come to the show and address Jim Lawler and Arnold Schwarzenegger, which I did, and I flew in on their dime. I not only got suspended for not competing, I had to reimburse my expenses for even going to the show. This was the Wayne D'Amelio that a lot of people didn't know. But it kept me out of competition a full solid year. The only consolation, Bob, was he gave me the opportunity to come back in 1990, first ever on classic drug test. Of course, we know how that show went, but it kept me out of the 1989 qualification of going into the Mr. Olympia because I couldn't compete. It was actually suspended in 1989.
Well, Sean, I mean, this is a story I'm not so sure a whole lot of people have ever heard because, you know, obviously so much attention is given to, you know, the 12-year streak, you know, top five finishes, you know, should have, could have, and would have won a few Olympias, all that kind of stuff. But I just want to stick with that just for 1 second because, I mean, that's pretty serious. I mean, to actually take you out of the Arnold just weeks before you're getting ready, let alone the entire year. I mean, what's going through your mind? You just got your feet wet onto a pro stage. You just was in your first Olympia. You know, you had the world with everything you had, man. I mean, your career had to be flashing before your eyes.
I was 23 years old, Bob. I was on the cover of every magazine and had offers to go all over the world. So at the time, I'm standing at the Arnold Classic without an opportunity to come out and address the crowd, which I was in the program, and Wayne said at the meeting that I would be able to do this. This changed their mind that I wouldn't be disruptive. I was left to sign autographs and pictures. And mind you, all the exposures coming out following the 88 Mr. Olympia, and this a brand new show. Of course, Gaspari won it. Robbie Robinson, I believe, was second place. But this was a contest I wanted to be a part of. I had sacrificed 9 weeks of training and dieting to get in shape for this show, and 4 or 5 weeks out, I'm injured and I can't compete. And it's basically a muscle strain. So it's not showing up as a muscle tear, but my hand's not in a cast. I'm not sitting in a wheelchair. So Wayne D'Amelio, I think, not knowing who I was very suspect of my competition desire. I mean, in my track record, spoke volumes, my desire to compete. And I wanted very much to compete on that stage. It just became a reality. When I hit the three-week point that I wasn't going to be able to do it, he made it sound like, because it is an invitation, and it is the first ever Arnold, and here I was pulling out, and I'm the golden boy at the moment with all these accolades supposed to do some very good things, and now they lost me. You know, Wayne made it sound like all this money on advertising, I'm going to ruin the show by not being a part of it. Look, I can only apologize so much for getting injured before I start getting pissed off that I'm injured, and it's costing me money, Wayne, not to compete. It's also jeopardizing my career because I'm threatened with a suspension at no fault of my own for getting injured. And then to add insult to injury, I got to pay back the money for my plane ticket and my hotel because they would have given that invitation to another athlete and potentially wouldn't have gotten injured. This was my first taste of Wayne D'Amelio going forward into my career. I survived the storm. I then went on to travel to Russia, all over the world. I think I stayed busy enough and got hungry enough that I wouldn't allow something like this to ever happen again. And I never got injured in my pro career from 1989 until I retired in 2001.
Well, for those of us that have been around long enough to experience Wayne, there was some good with Wayne, and unfortunately there was an equal evil side to him that unfortunately some people have actually tasted. But, Sean, we are 3 days, 7 hours, 38 minutes, and 31 seconds away. What is going through these guys' minds right now?
Well, I can tell you, like Lee Haney said on last week's program, if you're not ready now, chances are it's not going to happen, regardless of what you're seeing in the mirror. The body can change from hour to hour, but the bulk of the work has got to be in the bank and be done already. Right now, this is like putting the wax on the car. I mean, you can have a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or a Rolls-Royce Bentley sitting in your driveway, and it might look phenomenal, but until you put the wax on it, it would separate you from the rest of the high-end luxury cars. So if I'm Phil Heath, Kai Greene, Dexter, Sean Roden, I mean, all the familiar names, it's really cruise control, and it's water manipulation. It's a little bit of carb manipulation, but from my experience, it's posing and posing and posing, because that's what the judges are going to see. That's what the fans are going to see. All the other little last-minute stuff that people, you know, some wine or some chocolate or some whiskey or, you know, some magic coloring or whatever, all that stuff's fine and dandy. It's very much trickery and voodoo science. Right now, these guys have got to pose themselves into condition. So by the time they hit Friday night, it's almost like going through motion that they get called out repetitively. You want to make a point where there's nothing coming out. You're not sweating, holding the poses effortlessly. You're smiling like $1 million, and you've been there, done that, and you just to get the business of bodybuilding done with. Hopefully, the seasoned pros will be there in that condition, and the ones that aren't, you'll be able to see they didn't work.
Well, Sean, it begs the question. I mean, I remember the days where guys basically got in shape from 2 weeks out, 1 week out. You know, pretty much you could almost step on stage at any given time. Has it gotten down to where it's too much of a science, where guys are literally trying to peak for not even a day, but a specific hour? And I'm talking the prejudging at, you know, their best guess, you know, 10 o'clock p.m. on Friday night. Is that kind of a mistake, obviously, in a lot of these guys' prep?
Well, what I can tell you is the veterans know what they're doing. That's why they're able to routinely wind up in the top five. I mean, Sir Jackson's now residing in the top five. A very familiar place, or should the top six. John Roden seems like he's got his formula down, carries a little bit of water in the quads. You've got to be careful that they're not too big and thicken up that back and upper pecs and bring up the arms a little bit. But these are some pros. Kai Greene seems like he's got the formula down. Victor Martinez is another one that now suddenly no longer has mastery over perfecting and peaking at the right time. Going to be some very small nuances, small changes. I think Phil Heath knows exactly what he's done in his track record. He's proven that 3 first place, 1 second place, 1 fourth place. He seems to have gotten it down, and he's in full shape. Dennis Wolf, remember, we waited on him. He messed around with Chad Nichols and a few other gurus along the way until he figured it out, and he's now comfortably a bona fide top three contender in every Olympia that he gets into. But the new guy is coming in. Again, it's trial and error. A lot of guys mess with what got them there. And sadly, Bob, I wish they wouldn't, because what got them there is typically a winning formula in and of itself. It's not reinventing the wheel. Some guys will try to do that, and of course, it never turns good.
Well, that's a given. I mean, everybody has their, you know, their MO. Everybody has their plan. Everybody's got their guru, obviously, and that's pretty much the norm. These days, one guy who's actually kind of done it all, and a man who probably mirrors your career more than any of the rest of them, is Dexter Jackson. Now, in modern era, I'm talking in the days before Dexter really came on as the Dexter that we know today, and you've got to go all the way back to, geez, I'm guessing 2000 or 2001. I think he was eighth or ninth or somewhere in that range. Ever since then, he's been in the top six. Is this a pivotal year for Dexter Jackson? We've seen the pictures, Sean. Is there a chance that the Blade could find himself on the outside looking in, or is he just a given lock for the top six?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can tell you that Dexter is going to be a top six contender based on the lineup, because he has proven that he doesn't do stupid, silly, last-minute things. He knows what to do. There's only so much you can do with a frame like that. I was a victim of the same situation because of my height and my weight. There weren't a lot of dramatic changes towards the end of my career. I don't expect a whole lot out of Dexter. One damning thing that he can do at the advanced age of 44 plus is mess around with his body weight. and then come in a little more water retentive, thinking that he's bigger because the scale says so. Dex ace the hole is his detail. And if that detail is not there, he will effectively take himself out of the hunt. But he did pose at my show back August 16th. It looked like he was headed in the right direction. But what you look like 5-6 weeks out, 7 weeks out from a show, has nothing to do with the day of the competition. But Dexter, so far, you can't count him out of the top six. I'm not so sure you can count him in the top three, but Dexter, somewhere between fourth place and sixth place, I would bet money.
Well, another man on the fence, and we've all heard various different things. We haven't seen a whole lot of updates, is the Dominican Dominator, Victor Martinez. Now, I do believe that this is a pivotal year for Victor. I still think he's got the tools, but is it going to take the best Victor we've seen since that controversial 07 Olympia to get into the top six this year?
Well, 07 was time ago, Victor Martinez. A lot has transpired in his life since then, and he certainly is not the same Victor Martinez now as he was then. He was still capable of picking the right show to get back to Mr. Olympia and be part of the pageantry that will be fit. Anniversary, but I don't believe on any stretch of the imagination that Victor Martinez will rival. He showed us back in 2007 and will struggle with what he showed us in 2013. Victor Martinez is not embodied for a number of reasons, but he is still Olympia worthy. He is an Olympian, and this is the stage he belongs on, but like last year, he will find himself in very familiar territory and have to recognize that the youth of the sport has, you know, kind of taken over, and it is changing the landscape of the Olympia contenders. And unfortunately, I don't believe that Victor is going to be one of those guys when he gets down to that top six.
Well, Sean, we're edging ever so close, and there are some guys that their careers literally on the line. We're going to go to our first commercial break here, and then we've got an uninterrupted half hour to talk Olympia and all things that are going to come with the 50th Joe Weider Mr. Olympia. We'll catch it all up after the break.
This is Lonnie Tieper from Iron Man Magazine, the greatest of all time. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Focus, strength, recovery, results. Introducing Maximize, brought to you by iForce Nutrition. Tired of the same old caffeine buzz? Are you ready to step into a new world of power, energy, and intensity? Maximize has set a new standard in the supplement world, delivering tunnel vision focus, cell swelling volumization, and unstoppable endurance. Don't settle for the current crop of underclothes products. It's time to join the next generation with Maximize, the only pre-workout supplement you need for extreme gains in strength and performance. Don't just train. Maximize your workouts. Visit www.iforcenutrition.com for details.
Over the years, iForce Nutrition has brought you some of the most powerful muscle-building products ever seen in the bodybuilding world. Now, after years of research and development, we are proud to introduce our first launch into the world of thermogenic fat loss with Adipoxil. Adipoxil isn't your run-of-the-mill fat burner. Adipoxil is new and rewriting the definition of fat loss. Adipoxil's competition strength formula is so powerful, in one cycle, you can go from soft to shredded. When being lean isn't enough, get shredded with Adipoxil. For more information, visit iForceNutrition.com.
With over 300 locations and 2 million members worldwide, Powerhouse Gym has been helping people achieve their goals since 1975. Whether you're visiting the gym for the first time or you're a seasoned professional, you'll see why Powerhouse Gym is the strongest name in fitness. Visit PowerhouseGym.com to get a free guest pass to a location closest to you or to inquire about opening your own Powerhouse Gym location. At Powerhouse Gym, you're not just a number, you're family.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you've ever tried. Because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world, and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like some banned substances. But rest assured, there's nothing illegal in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB living legend Flex Wheeler. And now you too can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Hey, this is Seth Ferrosi, IFBB Pro, and you're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Everyone knows that beef is king when it comes to building quality muscle mass. Now you can have all the anabolic power of beef with Carnivore. Beef protein isolate from Muscle Mads, packed with 20 times the creatine of steak and loaded with extra BCAAs. Carnivore is more concentrated than whey. Beef up with Carnivore, the most sought-after muscle-building protein ever created. For more information, visit MuscleMadsRx.com.
Arginine and AAKG are dead.
War is over. MHP introduces InnoBomb, the world's first clinically tested nitric oxide maximizing formula. Need to experience real workouts and pumps with InnoBomb.
But one of the guys that gives a lot of credit is Steve Blackman from Muscular Development. I mean, those guys have done an extraordinary job for years and years and years to promote health, to promote fitness, to promote strength, to promote bodybuilding, powerlifting, weightlifting, and all of those kind of things. So the contributions they made is gigantic, and I hail them for that.
Anyone who understands the supplement market knows that fat burners as a class of products are virtually dead. Why? Because none of these products have delivered the kind of real results people have been looking for. I'm not kidding when I tell you, that's all over now. Because Mitotropin is so powerful and so profoundly different than anything else on the market, we couldn't even call it a fat burner for fear it would be associated with this useless category. That's how good it is. Welcome to the world of Mitotropin.
Run! Oh my goodness! Business as usual, man! I stole you! It's going again! Run!
For the best workout of your life, use Nox Pump, the strongest pre-workout powder in bodybuilding. Get Nox Pump at health food stores everywhere.
This is Jay Cutler, and you listen to Team MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Shop the new MD Supplement Superstore, where you can find more of your favorite brands and products, upgraded customer service, and engaging cutting-edge research, along with the industry's most competitive prices.
Hey, this is Seth Ferrosi, IFBB Pro, and you're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray. I'm the
truth and these other boys. All right, you're listening to the countdown of the 50th anniversary, 5-0, of the Joe Weider Mr. Olympia weekend. We've got our host for the weekend, voice of professional bodybuilding, Bob Chicarillo, calling in by way of Georgia, packing his bags, getting ready to head out west, where it's got to be around 110 degrees at least in Las Vegas, because in California, right now, I'm sitting in my car with this broadcast at 4:35. My temperature says 110 degrees in the shade. Bob, are you ready for the heat of Las Vegas?
Ah, you kidding me, bro? I've been waiting for this day, man, and it's there's a lot on the line, man. I mean, there is, I mean, past the obviousness of it. I mean, let's get past the actual lineup, which we'll get into in a few minutes, but we've got NBC cameras rolling, bro. For the first time in 30 years, we've actually got, you know, some primetime coverage. And that's huge. And I take a lot of pride in that because, you know, this is a brand that Robin Cheng has worked very hard for a very long time now, you know, to bring the Olympia up to this standard, to have a shot. I know he worked very hard on that deal. So congratulations to him and to us as a sport, you know, because this could be big for us.
Well, we talked about this before, Bob. I mean, the bottom line was Joe Weider had opened the door for bodybuilders to actually make a living. Now, what people consider a decent living and make a living, it probably varies from one spectrum to the other. But when we go back and talk about the people that made this sport what it is, I mean, here you've got Larry Scott, devout Mormon from the Black Hills of Idaho, moving over to Salt Lake, basically was lifting weights just because he wanted to change the way he looked, turned it into becoming the best-built man on the planet. And then you have Arnold coming all the way from Graz, Austria. No one's ever heard of this place before Arnold. Turns it into, you know, this multi-gazillion dollar machine that was all rooted in his bodybuilding. You had the Cuban Sergio Oliva defecting from Cuba, coming over and becoming a police officer out in Chicago, a three-time Mr. Olympia, the myth. I mean, from where these people came, Franco Colombo, Sardinia, Italy. I mean, Dorian Yates over there in a tiny little town over in England. The Mr. Olympia has given people not only a life, but a lifestyle, and has provided them with a way of life that actually pays it forward for all these other people out there, not just Americans, but worldwide. I mean, the Olympia has been represented literally by every nation on the planet, it seems.
Well, that's a given. I mean, you talk about your melting pot. I mean, every race, every creed, every color, every religion you can think of. I mean, everybody's, you know, in the sport of bodybuilding, and it's all very well represented at the Olympias. Obviously, there are people from many different countries and many different countries on the fan base. I mean, we see more people from around the globe at these things, and a lot of them the same fans that you'll see every year, which is very impressive to me. But speaking of impressive, Sean, I'm looking at this lineup. And I kind of want to work this backwards a little bit this year because the top six, seven, I mean, it's fairly predictable. I mean, you know, you're going to get a little change down in there when you get into six, seven, eight. But you talk about wide open. I mean, when you start looking at that, I mean, let me just give you some names here, Sean. And again, I'm going to work from the perspective that everybody's trying to get it, you know, into the top 10, obviously. So let's work out of the top six. And let me just give you some names here. Johnny Jackson, JoJo Natifero, Juan Morell, John De La Rosa, Lionel Bajecki, and Steve Kuklo. Now, that is a hell of a lineup in itself, but not all those guys can play 6 through 10.
You're right. And, I mean, Johnny Jackson had a good run for a hot minute. Not so much as of late. The legs are the first things to go as you start to age. Vince Taylor was a testament to that with his 5 Masters Olympians. These guys are definitely going to be newbies coming out of the box. I don't really expect a huge impact. But however, they are the best of the best out there and rightfully earn their way to the Olympia lineup to the part of this weekend. So I'm not going to take anything away from that. However, they're not the ones that are going to be talked about and discussed about as it relates to the final competitors on the stage, but they will be worthy of conversation for sure because there are some subplots and some sub battles within the actual battle for the title.
Well, let me give you a few more names. Now I'm going to skip again. I started from the bottom of my list. That's not to say that these guys are going to place last, obviously. I'm just giving a list. But let me give you these names. Phil, Dennis Wolf, Kai Green, Big Ramy, Dexter, and Roden. Okay, now there's a very probable top six, but let me just add a few more names into the mix for you now. Ruly Winkler, Branch Warren, Victor Martinez. I mean, where are you going with this one, bro?
Well, I can tell you, out of those names, Ruly stands the best opportunity to come up and fight into that top six mark. He is a guy that we're waiting to arrive, and it's only a matter of condition. This was a former Arnold Amateur Classic winner. Ruly earned his way back to this competition. A couple of short years ago, we wouldn't be talking about Ruly so much. We'd probably be leaning more towards Branch, but Branch is now starting to show the battle scars. And again, a year ago, struggled greatly. And we didn't know whether or not he would even make it back this year. He did make it back to the contest. However, he did make it back not competing against the strongest lineup out there at the Europa Pro, a contest on paper he was scheduled to win regardless of who showed up. He did get there the hard way. He earned his way back. I don't think we're going to see a resurgence of the old Branch Warren. We'll see an older version of Branch Warren, a more mature version. I'm not so sure we're going to see a better version because he's been getting ready for this show literally probably since about February, since he competed in May when they moved the schedule for the Dallas show. That's not going to be to his benefit. It's going to be a tough road for Branch. Again, Victor Martinez, he'll probably wind up somewhere down towards the bottom, a very sympathetic round of applause. However, again, I've been there. My first Olympia, I was out of the top 10. It's tough to be a pace car on a racetrack this big, but Durr's been to the top. He's been at the bottom. He's a true competitor. He'll take it like a very mature veteran, but I don't believe he's going to be there in the hunt. Rowley's the one to watch out for in those three.
Well, I'll tell you how close you are on the button on that one there, Sean, is if you look at last year's lineup, which was Phil Kai, Dennis, Roden, Jackson, Cutler, and then Ruly Winkler was seven. Now, Jay Cutler obviously retired and out of the mix. Is it safe to say that we could see a complete repeat? Now, if Jay's out, Ruly moves up to six. Big Rami was in eighth, arguably could have been higher, but he would move up to seventh. Branch was in ninth, moves up to eighth. Is that a likely scenario?
Branch may go the other way because there's a couple guys coming up behind him that could give him some fits. And that's just on paper. I mean, we can't go based on history. Again, some of these young guys are hungry and are pulling out all the stops. And this, I think, Branch, as a veteran, may have to proceed with caution. This guy's been wounded. He's been injured. Same with Victor Martinez. These guys are training cautiously, not with reckless abandon of days old. These guys are older and more mature. They realize there's life after bodybuilding. Unlike Dorian Yates, I believe these guys are going to be taking their foot up off the pedal just a little bit and get into survival mode. And that survival mode is going to leave the door open for some of these young guys coming in that are throwing caution to the wind, going balls to the walls, and afraid of nothing. And I think that's where some of these veterans that are on cruise control, being careful, may wind up falling down a couple of notches and these new guys coming up a couple of notches.
Well, Sean, most people would think that all eyes will be on Phil Heath when he comes out. Now, although the three-time champ is obviously one of the most popular pros, certainly, and all that, he's expected to come out great, and he absolutely will. I believe with every ounce of my being that Phil Heath will be every ounce of what Phil Heath is supposed to be. I think all eyes are going to be on Kai Greene because he is the pivot man to me. We've seen Kai come out there and look like, oh, boy, this is going to be a close one, but we've seen Kai come out there like last year, and I had him in third place behind Dennis Wolf.
Yeah, look, who doesn't love an underdog? I mean, Gaspari had a bigger following and a fan base than Lee Haney did in Victory. So many people have been rooting for the underdog in Kai Greene to upset the champ in Phil Heath. People say Phil Heath's cocky, Phil Heath thinks he's better than people, Phil Heath, it's time to knock him off his pedestal, he needs to be humbled. They always say that about a multi-winner like Phil Heath. They were saying the same thing about Dorian. I mean, you go to this contest hoping for an upset. As much as we love Phil, we want to see a fight. And that fight probably will come from none other than Kai Greene. So there's more at stake for Kai Greene in the defining moment in his career this Friday and Saturday than ever before. Phil Heath, hanging on to the title is probably the hardest thing to do. Like Lee Haney said, hanging on, you've got the biggest bullseye on your back of everyone. There's not that much expected of Kai Greene because Phil's the champion. But Kai Greene can change the course of history. It can change his life with one win, whereas if Phil wins for the fourth time, we're kind of expecting that. Nobody's going to be doing any backflips, and he probably won't wind up on the front page of the newspaper. But if Kai Greene beats Phil Heath, it changes the whole landscape of the sport because there's so many other bodybuilders behind Kai Greene that will suddenly believe that, well, if Kai can beat Phil Heath, I can beat Phil Heath. Maybe I can beat Kai. It will change the landscape for sure and make the 50th anniversary one of the more memorable Mr. Olympia weekends ever.
Now, Sean, you know I'm one of those people that likes to go by the numbers and I like trends and things. You know, one of the things we talk about is history repeating itself. Now, if we go back to Ronnie's wins, and Ronnie was very similar in that. That crowd exploded when he won in 98. 99, 2000. Well, on his fourth Olympia, for the first time, you saw a chink in the armor. You saw a crack, and you saw the fans kind of turn on Ronnie as he was kind of getting a lot of the same stuff that Phil's starting to get now. And Jay Cutler, who came in at his all-time best in 01, and a lot of people, myself included, thought he actually beat the champ. Could we see a repeat of history itself this year? Now, this is Phil's fourth Olympia he's going for. He's in the same position Ronnie was. What do you think? Could Lightning strike twice?
I can tell you, if there's one man capable of taking that title from Phil Heath, it's Kai Greene. Kai Greene is a lot of things to a lot of different people, but the one thing that he believes he is, and that's the next Mr. Olympia. And you can't take that from someone and instill it in another person. Kai Greene is very cerebral, and he believes that he was born for this opportunity. Now, I'm very close to the action because, again, Phil Heath's very first pro win was the Sean Ray Classic. Kai Greene's first pro win was the Sean Ray Classic. I've watched these two careers go upward and onward ever since. And, of course, Kai went on to win two Arnold Classics to Phil's zero. Phil's won three Mr. Olympia to Kai's zero. This is the rubber match. This is the match of all matches in the defining moment for both gentlemen, because Phil has got to really close the door on Kai Greene. It can't be closed. You got to go in there and decisively shut Kai Greene up for good and make him go away. Or Kai Greene's got to go in there and take what he believes is his. Right now, this Friday night, he can't wait till Saturday. It has to happen on Friday night for Kai Greene, or that door and that opportunity may never present itself ever again.
Yeah, you know, I'm agreeing with that, Sean, because I don't think he has that window like he had last year. Kai came out watery on Friday. He was clearly beaten by Dennis Wolfe. He came back a bit on Saturday, ultimately ended up in second, which I didn't agree with. But Dennis Wolfe now has confidence under his belt. He now has a few shows. He looks like he's settled into a position that he knows his physique, and he knows he can dial it in. He's got size. He's got height. He's got width on these guys. The only question is, Sean, is can Dennis Wolfe find himself beating Kai Greene this year for second?
Well, I believe out of all the guys, when it comes down to doing something and beating someone, I believe Dennis Wolfe now believes that Kai Greene is beatable. I believe that he feels he should have been second place, and there's nothing worse than coming up short. Dennis Wolfe only dreamt of being in the top three of the Olympia, and I think he found consolation in that third place prize and probably wasn't as disappointed as he rightfully should have been. I mean, he was second place after Friday night, and most people had him, or he was third place after Friday night, but most people had him in second. And of course, Saturday, he was in third place again. He accepted that until he saw the pictures. And then that's where the hangover comes, because the pictures for him was validation of what the crowd saw. And he felt that it wasn't a fair decision. So him coming back this year, knowing and feeling in his heart of hearts that he beat Kai Greene a year ago, that's a whole nother battle and a subplot within the bigger picture. If Dennis Wolfe ultimately beats Kai Greene, if I'm him, I go back and I focus on that Arnold Classic, because now he's fallen one more step behind and gotten further behind Phil Heath. I focus on that Arnold Classic and go for victory number three. And if I'm Dennis Wolfe, if I don't win, I go and focus on Arnold Classic number two, because Phil Heath will have solidified the firm grasp on the Olympia title that historically all these Olympians have had, and that Arnold Classic is left wide open. And if these two guys, Kai Greene and Dennis Wolfe, don't go to Columbus, guess what? A 45-year-old Dexter Jackson goes to Columbus, and he wins a fifth title. That's what I'd be doing if I was Dexter Jackson.
Well, Sean, the only other guy named Sean to grace an Olympia stage is your fourth-place finisher last year. That was Sean Roden, the Flexitron, as he goes by. But I got to be honest, his is probably the least talked-about name of the guys that were in the top six last year. Why is that?
Well, it speaks to his persona. Sean is a very soft-spoken person. I'm going to give you one little tidbit for history. The other Sean that was on that stage was Sean Jenkins back in 1985-86.
Ah.
Like J.D. Marsh's cousin, he got one sniff at the Olympic title. But Sean Roden, on the other hand, is very quiet and unassuming. He lets his physique do the talking. And, of course, we can pick him apart. I mentioned earlier his quads are a little bit overblown, a little bit watery at times. His arms need to be bigger and fuller. His chest needs a little bit more upper thickness, and his back definitely needs more maturity and more density. That being said, He's got probably the best front double bicep and the smallest waist in all of the sport. He's got a very beautiful side chest. But you see he comes up short when he's standing next to Dexter Jackson because he's just not full enough. Very round in the shoulders, could use a little bit more meat on the shoulders. This is where we pick Sean Roden apart, but we can't do the same for Phil Heath. We can't really do the same for Dennis Wolfe, except for his calves. There's so many small little details on Sean Roden that collectively we pick him apart, and we realize why we're not talking about him as a front runner. Because those small things become very big when they're taken in totality. And that's really what the Mr. Olympia represents, the one with the fewest flaws. So when we add up the smallish arm, the thinner chest, the weaker back, Sean Roden has more things he still needs to work on to be talked about in the company of a Phil Heath and a Kai Greene and even a Dennis Wolfe. But he's, don't get it twisted, he's very dangerous in the right show. I'm not sure the Mr. Olympia is the one that Sean Roden is the ultimate threat.
Well, Sean, you and I have talked years about the idea that it's not the guy with the most amount of strengths, yet the guy with the least amount of weaknesses that should win the Mr. Olympia. Now, not even arguably, because it's not an argument. Phil Heath is clearly that guy. However, the next guy that comes to mind was Dexter Jackson, who probably has the least amount of flaws and the only guy in the lineup that can actually hit a proper side chest pose. We just saw some pictures of Dexter, some footage. Now, he put on some size this year, which looked pretty damn impressive. It was still with his trademark condition. If he can combine that and be the blade that we know, could he go as high as second place?
Arguably. I just don't think realistically. I just don't believe that Dexter, that wow factor that we used to seeing him, when you become very used to seeing the same old thing, it's very easy to kind of go on to the next physique. And again, these opinions don't change from year to year so dramatically. So Dexter would have to do a whole lot to wow us to jump over these other bodybuilders. I think the stars got to be aligned just right, and the conditions have to be just right in terms of Kai and Dennis Wolfe being slightly off, because they're definitely a lot bigger. And that size does show up on that Olympia stage, the size difference. This is where Dexter becomes a little bit more average. Because he's so complete and because he's so well put together by himself, he looks like Mr. Olympia 2008, regardless of what show he's in. But when you bring out the top and the creme de la creme, now you can kind of see that Dexter is starting to look more human and more normal and not so superhuman. We'll always say for his age, he's phenomenal. You know, Vince Taylor and Albert Beckles, their ages, they were phenomenal. But we're in a different time now, and these improvements are becoming much more dramatic. Phil Heath is light years ahead. Dennis Wolfe brings the size factor and the X frame. And, of course, Kai Greene is just, you know, he's the predator. He's on a different level when it comes to the muscle maturity and the freakiness of his muscularity. And the way he hits his poses and presents himself, there's a lot of things that are wow about Kai and not so much about Dexter. And I think that hurts Dexter. So he suffers because of it, and he becomes a fourth, fifth, sixth place finalist instead of a front runner for first, second, or third.
Well, Sean, most people don't even know who you're talking about when you say the name Mamdouh Elsbaye, but they do know the name of Big Ramy, which is what he goes by, and he was eighth last year in his first inaugural Mr. Olympia. A lot of people had him above Jay Cutler, who they felt that perhaps that was a sentimental pick into the top six, but he is without question the biggest question mark that's going to be on that Olympia stage. He's got another year under his belt. He's got another year with Dennis James at the helm. He knows his body better. The jitters are gone. He's now in his second Olympia. How high can we see Big Ramy go at this Olympia?
Well, no doubt Ramy beat Jay Cutler in that last Olympia. There's no question in my mind. It just didn't happen in the final tally. That being said, I think Ramy is still a work in progress. He's still a ways away from figuring out the right formula. I said the same thing about Dennis Wolfe years ago. Dennis has now matured into his physique and got the formula down. Ramy on his second year out there on the pro, he's young. He's still making mistakes as he learns on the job. The refinement and the maturity come in time. And this is something that he doesn't have the experience yet because he hasn't peaked enough times yet. He did win the New York show 90%, and that was good enough for New York. But when you get to Olympia, you got to be 100%, because 90% you can get beat by guys that have been there and done that. So I'm looking for Big Rama to be in the top 10. More likely, probably the same position as he was a year ago, maybe seventh place if all things come out. But I don't expect the thighs to be shredded. I don't expect him to have thin, Phil Heath-like skin. And I don't expect to be a whole lot of balance in the physique because the legs are so big. He's just very disproportionate. The chest definitely needs a little bit more thickness, and the back definitely needs a lot more separation. I don't know that since May till now he's had enough time to do those things.
Well, Sean, one thing I do know you would expect, and that's for Flex Lewis to take his third Olympia. I don't see anybody even coming close to this guy, with all due respect to David Henry, Jose Raymond, Samuel Haddad, Guy Cisternino, and the rest of the crew. But is he the Phil Heath of the 212?
Absolutely. Right now, this is a contest. It has his name on it. He's going there to pick up his check, and will probably do that for the next couple of years because there's no one out there right now doing what he's doing it as well as he's doing it, except for Phil Heath.
All right. Well, we're done with just a few minutes left. Sugar Sean, are you going to put it on the line this year and actually put a prediction out there and fool us all?
Well, look, I mean, it doesn't. Stevie Wonder can see that this is Phil Heath's contest to lose. So I think Phil Heath will walk away with this title. I believe that James Flex Lewis will take exactly what was designed for him in the 212 Olympia Showdown title. I think the women's physique division is still wide open. There's a lot of variance in terms of the champions that have won the women's physique division. The women's bodybuilding, I got to tell you, Alina, give me your last name, Alina.
Alina Popa.
She, right now, will be giving Iris Kyle everything that she can handle at this Ms. Olympia. I wouldn't be surprised if we have a new Ms. Olympia if Iris Kyle is off. Otherwise, Iris Kyle goes for what, number 10?
Number 10.
Sick. But Alina Popa right now is one of my odds-on favorite. And Adela Garcia has a very slippery hold on that title because Oksana Grishina is just, I mean, she...
Adela will not be in the show this year, my friend.
Who?
Adela will not be in the show this year.
All right, that's news to me. We'll talk about it off record and come back. We'll catch up with her at the Olympia. As a matter of fact, to find out the exclusive interview with her Olympia weekend, because that's news to me. Incredible. So that door is wide open.
Sure is. Well, you know what? There are lots of champs coming up, Sean. We are out of here in just a few days. Joe Weider's 50th being celebrated. I know Joe's got a big smile up there in the sky, bro, and you and I will once again be at the Olympia.
That's right, man. And again, we'll have a new men's physique Olympia champion for the first time ever. Make sure you check out the expo. It's all going down at the Las Vegas Convention Center. Bob will get things started off at 12 noon on Thursday at the Olympia Press Conference. And you can follow our play-by-play action at www.muscularddevelopment.com. For Bob Chick, I'm Sugar Sean Ray. Peace. We are out.
You've been listening to MD Radio, a look at the world of bodybuilding and health and fitness. Join Sean Ray again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.